How's everybody? We're chirping. We're mulling. We survived the weekend. All is right with the world. Ever hear this one, birds? Doesn't ring a bell. What's the national anthem of Iceland? I know, it's going to be like 90 degrees today in Chicago. I thought we'd, you know, liven things up a bit. So today we're going to go to a faraway place, and then tomorrow, it's crazy sock day. Yeah, wow, we're traveling all over. That is the pride of Rockford, Illinois, Cheap Trick, recorded live in Budokan, Japan. This morning at 6 after the hour, it's the Pandemic Pirate Wake Up Show, Pandemic Pirate Radio. Wake Up Show, we've got to shorten this. It's 6 after the hour, and while we're here, we are. We've got a mixed bag today. I think we're going to do a vicarious vacation every Monday. A virtual vacation. We're going to go to Iceland, talk to a very interesting guy whose name I can't pronounce, but yeah, we'll get to that. That's coming up a little bit later in the program. And a lot of stuff to think about and talk about and, you know, hang in together about. Over the weekend, the local officials saying states reopened too quickly. Those are our headlines as coronavirus infections rise in more than 30 states. Local leaders attributed outbreaks to restrictions being relaxed too soon. Where did we hear that? If we had stayed shut down longer, we would probably be in a more sustainable place in our economy, said somebody in Houston. The FDA commissioner would not support President Trump's claims that 99% of infections are harmless and that a vaccine will be ready long before the end of the year. This guy just makes stuff up. Stephen Hahn at the FDA says, I just can't predict when a vaccine will be available. University of Washington said that more than 100 of its fraternity house residents tested positive for the virus, underscoring the risk colleges face in reopening for the fall semester. And a sad one here, Tony-nominated Broadway actor Nick Cordero died. He was a victim of COVID-19. He was 41, passed away. Now, early numbers, and I'm going to get into this a little bit. Early numbers had shown that black and Latino people were being harmed by the virus at higher rates. You might have heard that. But new federal data made available after the New York Times sued the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. They don't give it up any easy way these days. They had to sue to get it anyway. Black and Latino people have been disproportionately affected by the coronavirus in a widespread manner that spans the country, throughout hundreds of counties in urban, suburban, and rural areas, and across all age groups. I can't explain this, but I'll tell you what the overview is here, just so you know, and you'll research it yourself. Latino and African-American residents of the United States have been 3 times as likely to become infected as their white neighbors, according to the new data, which provides detailed characteristics of 640,000 infections detected in nearly 1,000 U.S. counties. And black and Latino people have been nearly twice as likely to die from the virus as white people. That is according to the data that the New York Times had to sue to get. So don't let it go there. Let's figure out more what's happening here. Off the coast of Asia, 2 U.S. Navy aircraft carriers are conducting exercises in the contested South China Sea within sight of Chinese naval vessels spotted near the flotilla. The commander of one of the characters, the USS Nimitz, told Reuters on Monday, and he says, quote, they have seen us and we have seen them. Rear Admiral James Kirk, not sure what's going on there, but we've got an aircraft carrier off the coast of China there. My president had something to say, Barack Obama tweeting, our founding promise has never been guaranteed. Each generation has been called to bring us a little closer to our highest ideals. And history's calling on us right now. So let's all do whatever we can do to help. At Joe Biden is the Twitter handle. Expand that promise to all Americans. Thank you, Mr. President. This is an interesting angle that popped up. You know what a PAC committee is, PAC, Political Action Committee? A new political action committee has been formed by the George W. Bush folks to support Joe Biden. I know. So we'll see what's going on there. In the Louvre in France, the world's most visited museum reopened today, ending a 16-week coronavirus shutdown that resulted in a loss of more than 40 million euros. It's about 45 million bucks. Have you been there? I was there once. We're gonna get on a big something, and we're all gonna go somewhere else when this is over. A little pretty interesting place, big place. And if you walk it, wow, you are tired, but. Among the points of interest in there are the Mona Lisa, a very tiny picture. in a very large museum. Anyway, one of the things that's connected to this story, and I was thinking about this the other day, that we're headed toward a cashless economy. It's talking about France more there. Patrons at Julien Cornu's cheese shop used to load up on Camembert for the week, with about half the customers digging into their pockets for euro notes and coins. But in the era of the coronavirus, cash is no longer a la mode, as social distancing requirements and concerns over hygiene prompt nearly everybody who walks through his door to pay with plastic. People are using cards and contactless payments because they don't want to have to touch anything. I think that's something that is probably going to be an offshoot of this whole thing. We're just not... Cash is dirty. We used to teach you, what's the dirtiest thing in the world? It was the stuff in your pocket. So I think that we're going to see an increase in the use of plastic and these contactless readers as opposed to whipping the money out of your pocket. So those are some things that are happening today. And let me grab a news here. Just me, folks. It's just me and you. About this, from Washington to Cleveland, professional sports teams are finally starting to reckon with racially insensitive mascots. Microphone Jones and I were talking about this a little bit last week. Washington Redskins, they've been dealing it out. The Cleveland Indians, again, that's one we're gonna be talking about. I have one comment to make about that. My high school mascot, I went to Chesterton High School in Chesterton, Indiana, which is the home of the Trojans. No, that place in Greece, right? But the fact is, you know, I mean, my high school mascot, it's condoms, you know? I mean, it's, you know.
The shark has pretty teeth, dear, and he shows them a pearly white. Just a jackknife has Mac Heat, dear, and he keeps it out of sight. When the shark bites with his teeth, dear, scarlet billows start to spread. Fancy gloves, though, where's Mac Heat, dear? So there's not a trace of red. On the sidewalk, Sunday morning, even, lies a body oozing light. Someone sneaking around the corner. Is this someone Mac the knife from a tugboat by the river? A cement bag's drooping down. Yes, the cement's just for the weight, dear. Bet you Mac he's back in town. Look a year, Louis Miller disappeared, dear, after drawing out his cash. And Mac Heat spends like a sailor. Did our boy do something rash? Suki Tawdry, Jenny Diver, Lottie Lanier, Sweet Lucy Brown. Oh, the line forms on the right, dear. Now that Mackie back in town. Take it, Satch.
What? It's over? It is. Oh, my goodness. Wake him up. Wake him up somewhere. It's the commemoration of Louis Armstrong. I missed his birthday, and I missed the day of his passing. Anyway, I thought we'd do it all the day. We play What a Wonderful World to go out of the show, as you know, every day. But I thought we would just have a couple of moments and have some real stuff from Louis Daniel Armstrong, nicknamed Satchmo and Satch and Pops. He was born on August 4th in New Orleans, and he passed away on the 6th of July. That would be, 1971 in Corona, New York. A master of everything. Anyway, we'll have a little bit of stuff from him today. That was his version of Mac the Knife. It's 18 after the hour. This is Monday. It's the Pandemic Pirate Radio Wake Up. Let's get ready and see what happens next. Show from the Bleat Network. It's bleat.network. And what else is happening? Well, we've got the birthday of all these people here. Bill Haley, who did Rock Around the Clock. Janet Leigh, the Dalai Lama has a birthday today. What do you give the Dalai Lama? Huh? I don't know. Gift ideas. The guy probably has everything he needs. George Walker Bush, the president of the United States, right before some other presidents, has a birthday today. Sylvester Stallone, born in 1946. And Burt Ward. You know who Burt Ward is? Burt Ward was the guy who played Robin on the Batman TV show. I know, pretty obscure. He gave the most... I interviewed him when I was in Iowa at a relatively family-oriented radio station. And my hand was hovering over the delay switch for the entire interview. He wanted to talk about... Let's see if I could put this, how much action he got. And I said, well, Bert, what do you attribute that to? And he said, I think it was the tights. So, yeah, another celebrity. Now, this is really, really good news. I was worried about this. We all were. Tom Hanks is fine. Tom Hanks, you'll recall, was one of the first celebrities to come down with the coronavirus. So we have an interview with him. Tom Hanks is promoting the film that he's going to be streaming on Apple TV Plus. It's the story of Captain Ernie Krause. And the nature of this interview is to talk about all the captains that he's played. He says, I played a lot of captains. Captain Jim Lovell of Apollo 13, Captain Richard Phillips, Captain Phillips, Captain Sully Sullenberger in Sully, Captain Miller in Saving Private Ryan. But Tom says, I try to bring into any of these roles the question anybody would ask, what would I do if I was in his shoes? Am I wrong in saying Tom Hanks is maybe the least controversial celebrity and the guy that everybody likes? I hope I'm not the only one who feels that way. Anyway, we were all understandably upset when it turned out that he was in Australia back in March, and he was filming with his wife, Rita Wilson. He became the celebrity canaries in the coal mine of all things COVID-19. They were about the earliest and the most famous people in the West to be diagnosed with the virus. That was on March 10th. They were hospitalized for 3 days. And how are they doing? He says, we're fine. Our discomfort because of the virus was pretty much done in 2 weeks. We had very different reactions, and that was odd. My wife lost her sense of taste and smell. She had severe nausea and a much higher fever than I did. This is Tom now. He says, I just had crippling body aches. I was very fatigued all the time, and I couldn't concentrate on anything for more than about 12 minutes. That last bit is kind of like my natural state anyway, he said, ha-ha. But I think that I'm going to take a little bit of a breath there. So Tom Hanks and Rita Wilson, healthy, good deal. 21 after the hour. That's something I want to check into. You know what the Dreadhead Cowboy is? Anybody seen this? In Chicago, the Dreadhead Cowboy, I'm looking at a picture of this guy standing on a horse. He travels the streets on horseback, says the Chicago Tribune, rallying protesters and offering rides to starry-eyed kids. Somebody says he's our Batman. So I'm wondering, I'm going to have a list here. We would like to see if we can locate the Dreadhead Cowboy. I think that would be a wonderful guest to have on. Activists and members of different tribes from the Mount Rushmore region showing up in the news today as they blocked the road. They protested Trump's visit in Keystone. These are the people around Mount Rushmore. And then protesters in Baltimore pulled down a statue of Christopher Columbus, and threw it into the harbor. You know what? I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to reserve any comment about that. I'm certainly not in favor of anybody throwing anything to the harbor, but what do you know about Christopher Columbus? Anything? Maybe we'll do a little bit of research. I know a little bit about it. See whether that's someone that we should be, commemorating on all this stuff. I mean, my high school sports team, the Trojans, but probably hard to connect those two dots there. And finally, I wanted to make a point about the notion of all these books that have come out about Trump recently. I'm going to spit out a few things. There's one that uses the word plutocrats, one that uses the word autocrats. I looked up those. I didn't have to look up Democrats, and I didn't have to look up pussycats. But we'll take a second and maybe zip through a couple of these. Kind of a quick for busy people review. I look at the book reviews over the weekend, and we'll see what's up. So all of that coming. By and large, I think it's good news for people that are wanting the end of the Trump administration here. I'm not saying that bad things might not happen, but I'm telling you that it does look like we're almost done with that part of it. Let me grab a quick here. I was talking last night to my friend California Doug Suley. Doug has a piece. I'm going to just zip quickly through this. He posts it on dailycost.com. That's dailykos.com. And Sparks, maybe we can pull this together and excerpt it. Anyway, it's called The Veneer of Civilization. I talked to him last night. He's down in California where it is going to be in the 90s. All week, and I hasten to add, it's going to be in the 90s all week in Chicago. It's going to be a hot one. Anyway, Doug makes a quick point. He says, we now have a pretty good idea of the makeup of the 2020 national election. Most polls currently show a sizable lead for Joe Biden. There's some salient reports of a pandemic-ridden response to the events of Election Day 2020. Here's what he's getting at. The strongest theory for Trump is to not vacate the White House. In an electoral loss, he'll just immediately declare that the results of the election are invalid due to massive voter fraud brought on by mail-in ballots. This is what someone is speculating. Trump, as you know, has been tweeting fiercely about all that lately, talking about the mail-in ballots. In fact, as far as I know, mail-in ballots are really a good way for us to go. But those folks that are looking for Trump to do something extra legal think that that's what's going to happen, that they'll get the DOJ involved and anyway, I'm gonna see if we can post this. The Veneer of Civilization, nice piece written by Doug Suley, who produced this show when I was doing it, and I had hair, and he lives in California now. In the scenario, Biden could win the popular vote by as much as 8 or 10%, and Trump could remain in office, according to that. So we'll look at that. All right. We will definitely look into this stuff, and we'll try to make sense of all of it. 26 after the hour on a hot one here in Chicago. It was already in the 80s when we went on the air today. Let's see here. Should we rock out a little bit? Are you ready? Because I have a special request for you, if I may.
I want you to want me.
How about it? They're clapping in Japanese. That's the album. I don't know if you know this story about this. Did you see the movie Spinal Tap? This is Spinal Tap, but a fictional band that kind of flames out, as it were. Anyway, there's an element in that movie where the band goes to Japan and suddenly becomes stars, and I think that was probably based on the events surrounding Cheap Trick that went to Budokan Japan and recorded this album, and it was a big hit. Anyway, good record. They're from Rockford. I heard Rick Nielsen on Sirius XM over the weekend telling some stories. So anyway, we all got time to settle back and think about stuff a little bit more here. It is half past the hour. The Pandemic Pirate Radio program for the Monday after the 4th of July, and we do something here. We're going to try to make it a virtual vacation Monday. I am about to make, please let this work, an international phone call. We will call Iceland, and we're going to talk to someone whose name I will work on pronouncing, a very nice man. We heard him the proprietor of the Phallus Museum over in Reykjavik. We have him on. His name is Thordor O. Thordarson, and I'm going to call him Thor. I don't know how that's going to work. Anyway, should we give it a second here? I'm gonna actually play their national anthem here. I thought that would be an interesting way to get into this. Let's see here. If I can simply hit the button, there it is. Come on, really? Come on. Oh, yeah. Play everything here on the Pandemic Pirate Radio Show. That is the national anthem of Iceland. And are we cooling ourselves down a bit? Let's do it. We need a virtual vacation on a Monday, and we're going to go by phone here. We're going to go live here to a place that I've never been to. I've always wanted to visit the country of Iceland. And our host this morning is a man whose name I'm going to do my best to pronounce here, Thordor Thordarson. Is that close, sir?
That's very good.
Can I call Can I call you Thor?
Yeah, sure.
Listen, I have so many questions for you. We stumbled upon the Phallus Museum, and we thought that was a really interesting thing. We're going to talk a little bit about that. You are native Icelandic. You're born and bred and raised there?
Yes, I am.
Can you tell me a little about Reykjavik? You're powered by geothermal power. Is that right?
Yes, mostly. Yeah, pretty much.
And explain that. That's like, for people in the United States, that's like the, Yosemite National Park. They have all those geysers. So, wow, how does that work? I've never heard of that. And it's almost the whole city?
Well, it's, not the entire city, but, we basically, all of the heating here is, basically, we just take, hot water from the ground to heat up our houses. But, our electricity is mostly, from, dams and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. You're a country with active volcanoes.
Yes, we are.
That's very unusual. Thor, you sound like you grew up in Chicago here. Do you speak really great English, or did you transplant, or what is it? You don't have any. I thought we'd have some language problem, and I'm realizing the language problem may be on my end. So.
I speak fairly well, but I think most people do here. I think from what 11 years old we learn English here in schools.
Do you really? From 11? Wow.
Yeah.
You know, I keep saying to people, they speak English everywhere, and I guess to some extent they do. So anyway. Go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. No, I mean, just, entertainment, movies, and, universities here, it's, just something that you need to learn.
Yeah. How are things in Iceland? I know that you have been touched by the coronavirus, maybe not as much as everyone else, but how are things going there?
Things are just going really, really good here. I mean, we're getting great weather, and, the tourism is beginning to come back, and I think everybody's, pretty hopeful.
Yeah. What constitutes great weather in Iceland?
yesterday we got about 20 degrees Celsius. I'm not exactly sure what that is Fahrenheit, but that is about as good as it gets here.
That's pretty hot.
Well, not that hot. I mean, I guess it's, fall weather and,
And an interesting thing, I'm going to throw out a couple of things. I want to talk about your museum. For people that I just sort of jumped into Iceland, among the other things that are notable, Iceland was the first country in the world to have a political party formed and led entirely by women. Iceland has the longest functioning parliament in the world. Thor, did you know that? You probably did.
Our parliament is, we're pretty old, but, it's been, a lot of people interpret, as our parliament, it's basically been, functioning since the settlement, but that isn't exactly the case. Back in the day in the Middle Ages, it was just, big-time farmers coming and, settling disputes
Like that. Right. Yeah. But technically, I'm just reading it. The parliament was suspended between 1799 and 1845. But aside from that, it's been credited with, staying together all those years. So I want to talk about the Phallus Museum, not the only thing to see in, and you're in Reykjavik, yeah?
Yeah, we're in Reykjavik. We spent a while on the other side of the country, but, Reykjavik is where things are happening, and, we actually just moved to a new place. We've tripled in size, and we're happy here in Reykjavik.
We played a tape. You have an audio tour of the museum there, which is great for radio. We play a little bit of it, and I was interested. It seemed like you had... everything was in somebody's kitchen or somebody's living room, and then
It's basically how museum began. He our founder developed kind of a passion for collecting penises, or
right.
I guess some people were playing a joke on him, and he just kind of owned it. Yeah. Then, just one day his wife said, enough.
Yeah.
You can't keep the penis at the house anymore. So he opened a museum.
See, how many times has that happened to any of us?
Yeah.
So they and I should mention these are mammal penises, mammal phalluses, right?
Yeah.
Do we know which one it was that sort of was the tipping point? When the wife said too much, was it the whale or
I expect it was some of the whales. I mean, I think we have a sperm whale here, which is about 150 pounds and 5'7" tall, and it has to be kept in formaldehyde, so that's a lot of space.
Yeah. How did this all start? Now your founder is a scientist, right?
My father is a. Sorry?
No, go ahead. I said your father was your father and founder was a scientist.
Actually, I am the son-in-law of the current curator.
Okay, son-in-law. All right, very good.
Yeah. But our founder, he was actually a teacher.
Huh.
But it was just some of his coworkers working at a whaling station, and they actually first gave him a bull penis pizzle, but then they started giving him the penises.
Yeah.
Which were the only things that weren't used at the whaling station. We used to be really big on whaling here. Not anymore.
Yeah. The bull penis pistol. I'm trying to pronounce that. Whaling. So whaling's not a big deal, but the phalluses are still around.
Yeah. But, well, actually, most of our penises are now from beach whales. So.
Uh-huh. What kind of traffic do you do? You have a lot of people touring? It sounds like kind of a wacky place. In general.
Yeah, I guess we definitely are. But in our old premises, we had a much smaller space than we did. But I think in 2018 we had something like 90,000 people coming through, which is almost the population of Reykjavik.
Wow.
Which is pretty good, and 99% were actually tourists. So,
is that right? I was looking at. We would love to go to Iceland, and I'm committing to coming out there. We'll bring our entire radio listenership, and tour. But I'm trying to get my head around the idea that so many people come from elsewhere. Iceland's not really close to anything.
We're basically friendly, I guess, and you have a lot of unspoiled nature here, and with our museum, this is something that you're not going to see anywhere else.
Yeah, I wish I could show pictures of Iceland to people. It's you've got the lava, you have the lakes, mountains, glaciers, just beautiful stuff.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, no, it is wonderful, and I think that's what makes it interesting. We have a second hour; everybody's locked down here. I'm not likely to be out of Chicago anytime soon, but when we get done, we're all going to go travel. Everybody's nuts indoors.
Yeah, I mean, I hope you do, and I mean, I really, I think here in Iceland, we're really feeling that people from the States aren't coming. Because you were like the mainstay of our tourist industry, and
we were really Americans. No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And just really good tourists. I think just really friendly. Everybody really laid back actually.
That's the nicest thing I've ever heard about an American tourist from you, Thor. They usually say that we're the jerks of the world. No, that's great to hear. I'm glad that my fellow Americans have been nice to you all in Iceland there.
Oh, they've been great.
Yeah.
Look forward to you guys coming back.
Let me ask you some trivial stuff. What do Icelanders eat? What did you have for breakfast today?
What did I have for breakfast? I had a I had a ham sandwich. So
you had a ham a ham sandwich?
Ham sandwich. We don't eat a lot of, you know, fermented shark or sheep bacon. So, although you can get that, but
can you get me fermented shark if I come out there, Thor? Especially if I let you know in advance.
Yeah, I can probably get it to you. It's kind of considered a delicacy now, but which is something, you know, people didn't have a lot to work with back then.
So, you had a ham sandwich.
Yeah.
You know, I was reading that I think Iceland. I'm going to check my math. I think Iceland was the first of the major nations that had a woman as the prime minister. I'm not sure when that was, but that was notable.
I think we had the first president. Israel had the first woman prime minister.
Okay, very good. Thor, thank you. Thanks for correcting that. But in any case, you've got a generally gender equal society there. The other thing that I noticed here, we're, as you may have heard, we're looking for another election here in the United States. In 2016, Iceland was ranked second in the strength of its democratic institutions, 13th in government transparency. The country has a high level of civic participation. Get this, Americans, 81.4% voter turnout, 81.4%. So what about that, Thor? Why do you attribute that? We need to get people out of their barca loungers here in the United States and vote more.
But I guess, yeah, just, you know, it's we're a small country, and you know everybody talks about the weather and politics here. It's just kind of how it is.
Iceland is so far away from us. What are the political arguments? What are people hassling over in Iceland
here?
It's
kind of, you know, since the, you know, coronavirus thing, you know, kind of, you know, political debate has, you know, kind of hunkered down. It's, you know, actually, I think, you know, I think people are trying to work together. You know, the opposition here has, you know, would have liked to have been more in the decision making, but, you know, not a lot of, you know, loud complaints.
Yeah. I mean, you've got, I don't know, it just seems like you're a little more mellow than other places. I'm not sure why that is, but I don't know.
I think we try to be, but, you know, it's not always like that.
Yeah. What do your kids do? You have kids?
Yeah, I have three kids.
And what do they do? Are they in school? Are they looking forward to the future? They want to leave Iceland or stay there? They want to come to America? What about it?
I have my oldest is 7, so, you know, he's just, he wants to be a knight, so,
Wants to be a what?
A knight.
K-N-I-G-H-T?
I don't know what I'm going to do about that, but that's about as far.
You're going to need a horse, I'm going to tell you that right now.
Some armor. Very small horses in Iceland. I don't know how effective that's going to be. Yeah. And my 5-year-old daughter wants to be a mother, so,
She does, really?
Yeah.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful. Wow. You seem like some nice folks there. So are you full time at the museum there? Do you have to hang out?
I am the manager here. I was actually teaching myself, but then my parents, my in-laws offered me a job. And, you know,
yeah. So
it's not the kind of job you apply for.
So the Phallus Museum in Reykjavik is actually a family deal. Right?
Yeah. It's 100% privately owned, just a family business.
You know, that's interesting. We were just talking about all the things that are going on. They reopened the Louvre today in Paris. And, I'm not sure what all that means, but Monday's a good day to sort of look around the world and see what's going on. I would think that the opening of any museum or any tourist spot is symbolic. People think things are getting better. Yeah.
I think so, and I mean, I think, you know, probably people are getting, you know, better informed, actually, you know, what we're dealing with, and, it's definitely serious, but I think, you know, we have to calmly, you know, weigh how our reaction is going to be, you know, from here.
I am looking for, I was going to try to play the some audio from the museum there, and I'll do that in a second. You've got a whole bunch of stuff there. So give me a quick tour here. You have, how many specimens do you have?
Okay, right now we actually have more than 320 biological specimens. We've actually grown a lot since that audio tour was made.
Uh-huh.
There were a couple of gentlemen actually contacted us. One American, whom we haven't received his thing yet, but it was an Icelandic, kind of an infamous Icelandic scoundrel who was 95 years old when he passed, and he donated his
thing,
his guy to us.
Yeah, is that? But you haven't got it yet.
Well, we have it, we have it, but not from the American gentleman, who was actually, I think, the first guy who contacted us.
I see.
And that gentleman wanted to donate while, you know, still living.
Yeah.
But we haven't heard from him in a while.
I don't know how that would work, but I guess it's a thought that counts, you think?
Yeah, he said he liked the idea of visiting his own penis. if I'm allowed to say that, you know. Radio. Yeah.
No. We're going to translate this entire interview into Icelandic, and then I'm going to send it over to you, and we'll just see how that goes there. I'm looking at the website here. If you got nothing to do today, why don't you pull up, it's phallus, phallus .is, I think, is the master URL there. Pretty interesting. You know, we have a lot of museums here in Chicago. We really have world-class stuff. I've never seen anything like that. There's a thing in Chicago, very well-known, it's called the Museum of Science and Industry. And terrific museum, but there are no phalluses there that I'm aware of. So if you're looking for phalluses, you got to go elsewhere.
I think, you know, they're not the easiest to obtain. Huh?
No. I don't even want to go there. Do you? You go to other museums when you get a chance?
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, I very much, you know, when I go to another country, I always try to, you know, check out, you know, national museums and stuff like that. You know, just, you know, kind of, you know, get to know the, you know, the local, yeah, kind of, you know, just culture. You know, mm-hmm. see what each place has to offer.
What are your favorite museums in the world?
Where I've been to, I think it's called the War Museum in London.
Right.
It's like Second World War kind of. That was really awesome.
I was there. Yeah, that is quite a place.
Yeah.
What else? Anything in the? How about France? You've been to the Louvre?
I have never been to the Louvre.
Yeah.
I went to the Solidarity Museum in Gdansk in Poland. That was really good as well.
Yeah. You know, my daughter Smiley often appears on the show. She is a curator by training. I don't know. You know, we're in this weird time, Thor, when we're trying to freeze the moment and remember everything that we ever remembered, and then move forward sort of all at once. I think there's just a real focus on, museum stuff. There's a place here in Chicago, Chicago History Museum. They've been sending us, they're doing all kind of virtual things because nobody really can go out. So, I don't know, in a weird way, this is a great time for museums. You agree?
I think, well, definitely if you take the virtual approach, business is kind of slow with us right now, but it's picking up. And I think, you know, it's... I think it's always a great, you know, it's something that's really good to do. I mean, if you really, you know, I don't know, like I say, if it's a great time for museums, but I feel that people are maybe appreciating them more.
Yeah. Yeah, when I know. I mean, I think that's exactly it, because they're just things that we can't do right now. And one thing that we can do, certainly these virtual tours, is something that everybody can do.
Yeah.
And we urge them to do it. So, yeah. This is just, it's interesting. I'm going to make an attempt at spelling your name, sir. Thordur, Thordur, Thordarson. Thordarson.
Yes.
We have a test for new announcers, Thor, and that's the one we're going to give them.
I'm honored.
He's the manager of the Icelandic Phallological Museum, and their website, again, it's phallus.is. IS is the URL. phallus.is over in Reykjavik. Just a really interesting thing. I'm indebted to you for talking to us. You were 6 hours, I think it's 5 hours ahead of us, so it's afternoon in Iceland when it's morning here in Chicago.
Just thank you so much for the interest. And, you know, I hope I'll see some of you guys here in the fall or something.
Yeah, soon enough. And how nice for you to say that you like American tourists. That's really nice. I'm glad to hear that. We'll all go to Iceland, and we're going to hang out with Thor. It's the phallus, I-S, phallus.is.
Yeah.
Wow. And what was the fermented shark thing that you're going to get on hold for me?
Yeah, it's a local dish. Basically, you know, it's basically just rotten shark. It's like, it's considered a delicacy here, but it's more something, you know, to maybe turn the stomach of tourists. It's more about that I guess.
To turn the stomach of tourists?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, but I'll tell you, I don't want to go all the way to Iceland and not be able to try the delicacy, so I'll stop and we'll do some fermented shark meat.
I recommend it.
My best to your children, a knight and a mother.
Two good choices.
Two good choices.
You have children yourself?
I have three children, I do.
And we're
all going to head over there and meet you. Thor, have a great day. I mean it. We'll talk again. Thank you so much.
Same to you.
There we are, Thordarson from the Icelandic Phallological Museum in Reykjavik, Iceland. There you go. We're going to get done with this whole coronavirus thing, and we're going to get back to normal. And I'm going to head over, and we're gonna do our thing. All right. It's Monday, and we will get through it. We will. Have the best day you can. Natasha Rodriguez produced this widecast from Chicago.
I see trees of green, red roses too. I see them bloom for me and you. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dark sacred night, and I think to myself, what a wonderful world. The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, or also on the faces of people going by. I see friends shaking hands, saying, how do you do? They're really saying, I love you. I hear babies cry. I watch them grow. They'll learn much more than I never knew. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. Yes, I
think to myself,